the rest of the story. By 1917, Irving Berlin was an established composer, was an international celebrity, and also that was the year he was drafted into the United States Army as an infantry private. He was stationed at Camp Upton, Long Island, an embarkation point for troops leaving for Europe. Yet even as he was impressed by the reality of war, his mind was still preoccupied with his music. And after a few months in the service, he was presented with a creative outlet. Under commission, he would write the songs for an all-soldier stage production, an upbeat show called Yip, Yip, Yap Hank, a musical mess cooked up for the boys of Camp Upton, he called it. Yip, Yip, Yap Hank, the title referring to Camp Yap Hank. It was to open at the Century Theater in New York. By now it's 1918. Berlin is working feverishly on the production. He has everything but the closing number. The finish has to be something strong. With a touch of heartstring gimmickry, the soldiers will march down the aisle, out of the theater, and march off to war. Well, quickly Berlin sketches a song for them to sing, and then he listens to it in his mind. No, that won't do. It's just too pretentious. Berlin sketches a second song for the finish, and he titles this one, We're On Our Way to France. And that song, he decided, has what it takes. Now he puts aside his pen. The all-soldier show opens at the Century. It runs for 32 performances. Its success is measured in its box office gross, $150,000 for the building of a new service center at Camp Upton. But wait a minute. You remember that song Berlin had originally intended for the big finish, the one song which he had himself rejected? What happened to that song is the rest of the story. It's now 20 years later, it's 1938. Again, the clouds of war loom large over Europe. A lady vocalist approaches composer Irving Berlin. She fears the upcoming Armistice Day celebration will be the last peacetime armistice celebrated for a long time. Would Berlin please write a song for her to sing on that occasion? Berlin agreed with the singer's sentiments. He had just returned from Europe himself, had witnessed the worsening situation firsthand. Yes, he will write a song for the lady to sing on Armistice Day. But as Berlin begins to compose, he runs into difficulty. No matter what he writes, it sounds terrible. Perhaps his own emotions are interfering with his artistic objectivity. And then after several days of fruitless labor, Berlin gives up. November 10, Armistice Day radio broadcast is imminent. What's he going to do now? And it's then that composer Berlin remembers the song that he wrote and rejected two decades before, a number he had originally intended for his all-soldier show during World War I. So searching through his files, he produced a forgotten opus. It may be a 1918 reject, but at least it's composed and it's completed. It'll have to do. Well, the lady singer likes the song. She sings over the air, and such is the success of that long-neglected melody that eventually it'll rival in fame our national anthem itself. For the lady vocalist to whom Irving Berlin gave exclusive performing rights without remuneration was Kate Smith. And the song with which she would forever be identified, the cast-off tune, buried in Irving Berlin's files for 20 years, then to emerge as one of our nation's best-known, best-loved songs ever, was God Bless America. And now you know the rest of the story.